Unlike any other time, the topic of exposing child sex trafficking has seen a recent surge in attention on social media. Sex trafficking on its face is already difficult for most individuals to fathom. But is it possible that there's even yet a darker side that most people aren't aware of? Watch this.
How do we measure the innocence of a child's life? Would we measure it by value, by usefulness, or by fragility? Or is it the case that innocence is inherent and cannot be measured? Maybe there is no gradation, no gray area, no middle ground. Perhaps innocence either exists or it does not. Every day that we are allowed to enjoy the freedoms and pleasure this country has to offer, a growing number of children are having their innocence ripped away.
Under the federal law, anyone who recruits, patronizes, solicits a minor under the age of 18 for the purposes of a commercial sex act can be found guilty of trafficking. Upwards of 80% of all confirmed sex trafficking cases involve U.S. citizens, and up to 40% of those cases involve the sale of children.
Unfortunately, to some of our fellow countrymen, destroying the human spirit in a child is a worthy sacrifice for a lucrative and flourishing business. However, this goes well beyond the sickening perversion of the flesh. There exists an occultic evil that has been awakened. These demonically fueled agents of sexual abomination regard the bright light of innocence as a trivial and inconvenient flame that must be snuffed out. We must not close our eyes from the sting of the smoke any longer. It is time we look upon the smoldering ashes of what used to be our children, become properly horrified, and finally decide to adopt within ourselves an insatiable motivation to expel this scourge from our land. It's time to stop ignoring the desperate cries of our children.
So how do we stop sex trafficking? We're going to show you today why expecting the government to dismantle this massive enterprise may not be the best course of action. On panel with me for the next few weeks are the writer, director, and editor of the new film, Silent Cry, The Darker Side of Trafficking, Josh Peck, and the executive producer to the film, Dr. Thomas Horn. Now, before we get into our discussion, I should explain that we've decided to use this four-week investigative series as an opportunity to show you actual clips from the brand new documentary, Silent Cry. Watch this.
On a cold day in February of 1987, a Tallahassee woman notices six disheveled and malnourished children at a park in the company of two well-dressed men. Something feels wrong about the situation, so she calls the police. What follows would prove to be a source of conspiracies, cover-ups, and confusion for decades to follow. In 2018 and 2019, a series of official police reports and government documents concerning a secret group known as the Finders were released to the public, confirming the suspicions of many regarding the American government's involvement in cover-ups. The official story speaks of a post-hippie commune who had some rather unorthodox ways of living, but were by and large harmless. The group, who called themselves the Finders, were seen as off-the-grid futurists who kept to themselves and enjoyed teaching their children certain lessons through so-called hands-on experiences. 2 weeks after the initial call to police was made, the entire case was dropped and was largely forgotten by the public. However, the recent release of official documents concerning the Finders tells a very different story. What follows is the story told directly from official yet heavily redacted documents provided by the U.S. government and official police records. Tallahassee police arrived on the scene to question the two men and their involvement with the six unkempt children in their care. The two men were unable to provide information regarding their custody of the children and were reportedly uncooperative in providing their own or the children's identities. Officers decided to bring the two men and children into custody for further questioning, during which information was divulged linking this case to Washington, D.C. When the Tallahassee Police Department contacted the Metropolitan Police Department in D.C., it was revealed the MPD had information concerning a group known as the Finders, based in D.C. The MPD issued search warrants on two properties owned by the Finders. When police searched one of the properties, an unused preschool, they discovered a plastic plate with three hand-drawn pentagrams on it. They also discovered over 100 animal bones. When police investigated another property, a farm in Virginia, they discovered what was reported as evidence of satanic cult rituals and cages that witnesses claimed were used to keep children in. It was also reported that a special agent with the United States Customs Service claimed to have observed documents containing instructions for obtaining children, including purchasing, trading, and kidnapping them, and also impregnating women. There was apparently reason to believe the Finders had infiltrated and were working with the government on a state and federal level. A member of the Finders, named Isabella, was discovered to have worked for the government from 1950 to 1971. It was alleged that the Finders were involved in an organized child abuse scheme that was being covered up by the State Department and the FBI's Foreign Counterintelligence Section. In the official documents, it is stated an individual whose name was redacted became convinced that numerous other children had been abused and that this was all part of a large, well-organized scheme. The testimony of the children did not help end any suspicions. When questioned, the children said they were being weaned from their mothers. They also described games the adult in the Finders group would play with them, including taking a man's clothes off, though apparently just the jacket, and seeing women walking around naked. When one of the children was asked about how the group operated, she said there was a man known as the game caller named Marion Petty, who would tell them all what to do, such as read bulletin boards, take notes, and babysit at people's houses. When one of the children was asked about possible sexual abuse, she reportedly became evasive and fidgety before denying any inappropriate behavior occurred and wanting to end the interview. During the interview, the children were reported to all be extremely hungry and apparently in deteriorating health as they urinated and defecated on the floor. After the interview, the children were medically examined, where it was discovered that two of the children, named Max and Mary, were confirmed cases of sexual abuse. Concerning these two cases, the Tallahassee Police Department offense reporting form specifically says Max lacks anal sphincter control consistent with previous sodomy. Mary, right half of hymen is absent, enlarged orifice, consistent with digital penetration, but would not rule out penile penetration. It would seem, with all of this evidence, it would have been an open and shut case of at least sexual abuse of children. However, the entire investigation was called off on February 18th, only 2 weeks after it was first launched, and the two men involved were released from custody with all charges against them dropped. The date of the original report, which contained the confirmation of sexual abuse, was dated February 4th, 1987. However, an affidavit which was written sometime on or after February 5th of 1987 stated the children were all examined for sexual abuse at a hospital in Tallahassee, but the results of the examination were not available at this time. If we look at the Tallahassee Police Department offense reporting form, we can confirm that the date of the original report describing the sexual abuse was February 4th, 1987, with a date of February 9th, 1987, listed under date of this report, all of which were days before the whole investigation was called off on February 18th. It was also reported that the children discovered in Tallahassee were eventually turned over to individuals claiming to be parents or guardians. Even more, it was claimed there was no evidence to link the finders to sexual abuse of children or satanic activity. It was reported that the judging of the lifestyle choices of the finders was subjective, and that investigations revealed there was no group or individual actions that appeared abusive or neglectful. The evidence that was previously uncovered was largely ignored and dismissed. Adding to the mystery, among the official documents was a strange report dated April 13, 1987, from the Domestic Security Branch of the Metropolitan Police Department in Washington, D.C., titled The Finders Investigation. It alleges that the finders have been utilized by the CIA to spread disinformation to other organizations in the U.S. and overseas. It claims they are capable of destructive and illegal activities. The writer of the report doesn't believe the child abuse was originally planned, but developed because of the sick and demented subjects in the cult. The report does say, however, that the shaping of the children was a planned experiment, similar to the Nazis, in order to form a perfect society. The writer states he doesn't believe the finders have disbanded, but rather believes they are still active. Given all of this released information, and considering the inconsistencies found within the reports, many believe the finders, or a splinter group, are still alive and well today, preying on young children behind the scenes through kidnapping, sex trafficking, and illegal international exportation with the protection of the deep state within the United States government. However, what if the finders are just the tip of the iceberg?
That video was just the beginning of this strange and disturbing journey I've been on the past year or so. It started when I read my good friend Tom Horn's book, Shadowland. And in that, he talks about some connections between the U.S. government and child sex trafficking rings. So I wanted to see where this began and really how widespread it is today. I started with the finders, but during investigation for that project, I found out a lot more that couldn't be condensed down into a short 10-minute video. Something else that kept me going, I live in a small town, middle of nowhere. While I was researching for the finders, I was seeing all of these news reports and articles about child sex trafficking rings in areas local to me. So it made me wonder, you know, I have kids myself. How safe are my kids in a small town? If it's happening here, where else is it happening? Is this just everywhere? Part of the problem, too, is in researching this stuff, I realized how much sensational conspiracy stuff is out there. I was finding it really difficult to separate truth from this sensational stuff. And because of that, I didn't know what was really going on. So it was about that time I decided I am not researching for a book. I'm not researching for a YouTube video. I wasn't even researching for my own curiosity. I was researching for a documentary because I needed to talk to experts who are working in this field, who are on the front lines fighting against this, and who aren't afraid to talk with someone like me on camera about what they know. I knew that was the only way I was going to get to the truth of this matter, so that's exactly what I did.
In just a moment, we're going to have a conversation with the film's director and producer. But first, we want to tell you how you can get a hold of this film right now. A child who is trafficked is sexually abused on average 5 to 15 times a day. And only 1% of these crimes are ever reported. This unimaginable darkness must be stopped. And right now, we want to invite you to join us in the fight to end child sex trafficking. Skywatch TV is proud to announce the Silent Cry Help the Children package. When you order the groundbreaking new feature documentary movie Silent Cry from film visionary Josh Peck, you'll learn firsthand from the world's most renowned experts in the fields of trafficking, pedophilia, and Satanism how Hollywood elites are actively engaged in the sexual exploitation of children, why the mainstream media and culture are attempting to normalize pedophilia, why we can't depend on the government to eradicate this ever-present evil and what the risks are to you, your family members, and communities. Plus, the lead authorities from the Silent Cry movie are back in the never-before-released Covert Investigation on DVD, featuring pivotal, never-before-seen commentaries that couldn't be included in the original Silent Cry film. From cases of demonic possession to satanic perversion, experts on the front lines discuss the worst crimes fathomable being committed against the most innocent amongst us. You'll also receive the brand new MP3 audio series on CD, A Cult of Perversion. In this explosive series, experts like Russ Dizdar, William Ramsey, and others share extremely sensitive research into the most perverse evils plaguing our country now, proving through over 12 hours of content that believers must combat this spiritual malevolence for the sake of our children. This incredible package also includes the never-before-released DVD Fake News or Hidden Truths. Join investigative researcher Stephen Bancars as he guides you through the most current research into the Pizzagate scandal. Is it all conspiracy? Who is involved? How does it pertain to events unfolding right now? Stephen shares explosive new revelations on the subject that have come to light since Pizzagate first broke and haven't been revealed to the public until now. Finally, the paradigm-shattering audio series by Dr. Thomas Horn himself, The Hidden Occultism of Epstein's Orgy Island. What demonic atrocities were going on at Epstein Island? And who were the high-powered individuals involved in some of the darkest occultic activities the world has ever witnessed? The contents of this mind-boggling three-part exclusive MP3 audio series comes directly from the private vault of Dr. Thomas Horn. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of $135. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling while supplies last. An excess of 500,000 children are being trafficked every single day in our country alone. Now is the time to take action. 100% of the profits from your donation for the Silent Cry Help the Children package goes directly to Whispering Ponies Ranch, a safe haven where children who have been abused in unimaginable ways can find rehabilitation and healing in Jesus Christ. The Silent Cry Help the Children package, available now at skywatchtvstore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985. Well, welcome back. We're having a very serious discussion today, gentlemen. And it's one that a lot of individuals watching this program have probably been picking up if they've been on social media. They're seeing a lot of memes being floated around. They're seeing a lot of arrests being made. There's a lot of hints that pedophiliaism is far-reaching. It might be in our government, our leadership, Hollywood. A lot of individuals are going to be learning now over the next few weeks what they can actually do to be engaged in this fight. But I want to ask you, Josh, why can't we just trust the government? I mean, obviously they're heavily funded, they've got officers everywhere, eyes and ears everywhere. Why can't we just expect that they would have, you know, the good guys out there doing this for us so that we can all go back into the matrix and enjoy our lives without participation?
I wish we could. I really wish we could. But what the Finders case has shown us is, unfortunately, the government has a terrible track record for this kind of thing. Okay. So in the clip that people just saw, we learned that there was a case of...
Absolutely.
Yeah, child sexual abuse confirmed, medically examined.
Over and over again.
Yeah, and the documents show that it was covered up. I mean, 2 weeks later, after the sexual abuse was discovered, the whole case was called off. It turns out a member of the Finders cult was working inside the government, which is probably why the whole thing was called off. We have that case proven by these documents that have been released from the government. Anybody can look these up, their official documents. So it's a terrible track record. That was decades ago. So do we expect that the government would have cleaned up their act so now we can trust them? I don't think so. I think if anything, it's probably gotten worse, especially knowing this hasn't come to light until just now.
So if we cannot trust the government, as you're talking about, then what do we as civilians do? And I know we're going to be diving into that, but where does a person start?
There's several things that people can do right now. First, we have to know that this is not going to be a top-down approach, which we just discussed. So the change has to start in the individual. The individual has to do something. That type of change can influence families, can influence communities. So simple things like not taking in any entertainment that might be sexually explicit, even TV shows, but it can go as far-reaching as pornography.
Okay, I want you to hit on something that we talked about yesterday, and I know this is going to be like a hammer for some individuals. These are very intense programs. We feel like this could be very significant. If you're a person in ministry, in particular. I really want you to share some of what we talked about. I know it's a hammer, but it's got to get said.
It does, and it's a hammer that needs to be swung. So 68%, and this is the most conservative numbers, it's probably more because this is just people that admitted it, 68% of Christian men and 57% of Christian women are addicted to pornography. This is not just people that have watched one porn video one time when they were a teenager.
No, this is reoccurring.
This is reoccurring.
It's chronic. It's
and
constant.
And there is a direct one-to-one connection between normal pornography, if we can call it normal, pornography and child sex trafficking.
Okay, now hang on. Slow down just a minute, because we know that a lot of Christians, I've been at Men at the Cross. These are great guys. They bring revival to towns. The Lord does amazing things. One of the most common themes is ministers. We're talking youth pastors and the leadership of our church. One of the most common things that they identify as a request When you're synonymously writing down prayer requests, one of the largest things they get reoccurrences for is addiction. Mm-hmm. People are wanting redemption. They're wanting set free from the bondages of pornography. We're talking about the leaderships of our churches. Now, slowing down a little bit, I think most Christians would accept that. Mm-hmm. They know that this is a scourge. They know that this is a common issue. But say again what you just told me, because this is what a lot of them don't know.
Right.
That they're direct... There's a direct correlation behind their secret involvement in what they're doing privately. They're hiding this from their wives, their family members. But there's a direct correlation between that and how this could impact someone's child.
Yeah, there is a direct link. And there are numerous articles. People can back up what I'm saying. They can look into it themselves. There is a direct one-to-one link between pornography for adults and child sex trafficking. And the connection is because every single view of pornography, even if it's just one view one time, every view contributes to this over-sexualized industry.
Right.
And it incentivizes traffickers to bring children into pornography. Pornhub, one of the largest purveyors of pornography in the world right now, has been implicated several
times.
Many times,
yes.
They have had children on their website because there's an incentive for it, because people will watch this not realizing there are children involved in
this.
And
I think a lot of people out there struggling with that. Mm-hmm. The struggle is very real for them.
Yeah.
But they may think it's more interpersonal. I'm damaging my relationship with God. I'm damaging my relationship with my wife. I'll get through this someday.
Yeah, they're not hurting anybody else. It's
just
about them.
It's
just
my thing. But that's not something you can unhear.
Right.
If you're a person, and I'm not casting judgment, I'm saying if you're a person out there who is struggling with that, you can't unhear the fact that you may be and are likely contributing now
it's
to
not,
sex trafficking.
It's not even maybe or likely. It's absolutely.
Well,
if you're viewing pornography, you're contributing to child
sex trafficking. And if I can jump in, you're contributing for another reason, because if you're viewing it, you're building their viewership, their sales, their marketing, their everything else, which then funds this overall issue. But I'm astonished when you say that like over 50% of Christian women, over 50%.
Those are just the ones that admit it.
Yeah, the ones that admit it. We know, and I won't say the name of the company, there was an online portal that was really popular for people to set up affairs, right?
Mm-hmm.
To cheat on their husband, to cheat on their wife, whatever.
Right, right.
And remember, their data got hacked like a little over a year ago now, and as a result of it, over 500 pastors, youth pastors senior pastors in the United States alone had to wind up resigning their churches, over 500. So we're talking literally something that is an epidemic, and they were only the ones that had signed up through that one portal. We don't know how big the issue is. It's a real problem, but back to Silent Cry. Yaku Bullions, of course, is in the documentary film. We'll talk more about him as we move on in this series. But he, too, was one of the first ones that brought that up. I know we're going to run out of time.
And if that's the church, just very quickly, if that's the church,
then the
question I asked earlier about why can't we trust the government to fix this for us answers itself. You're talking about people that don't even subscribe to a belief in God or have any conviction.
Yeah. Josh, but you started out to answer Joe's question by saying there are things, plural, that people can do. One of them is, censoring, filtering, doing the best you can to make sure that this kind of stuff, so it's not just the people that are watching porn. One of the major toy manufacturers just had to withdraw a doll that they had created so that if you touched its privates, it would giggle and blush.
Yep.
I mean, this is a demonic thing, right? And children are being sacrificed on the altar of these very dark desires. So what else can people do?
Well, people need to be informed. So any company that engages in any kind of sexualization, especially of children, we should not be supporting with our money. Okay. So that even goes on into entertainment. That might not be technically pornography, but it's sexually explicit in nature. We should not have anything to do with that, because there comes a point where we have to ask ourselves, is our entertainment more important than the abuse of children? Because all of this supports this sex trade.
And I want to jump in here because we're going to run out of time so fast. Every dime of profit, when you buy the new documentary film, and you need to buy it, Silent Cry, The Darker Side of Trafficking, every dime of profit goes to support the Whispering Ponies Ranch. We'll talk maybe if we get a chance about more about what that is, but it is a ranch where children rescued out of sex trafficking and other abusive situations. They wind up wards of the state.
Right.
They are brought there where there are special counselors, psychologists, psychiatrists. They take them through a whole week of restitution ministries where they are restored, where they are taught to trust once again. WPR, Whispering Ponies Ranch, is the charity that is owned by me and Nita Horn and Skywatch Television, and we make all of those services available at no cost whatsoever. So we're talking overnight lodging, food services, recreation. We provide the staff. We provide everything other than the counselors that they have to bring with them. But every dime, and so please consider making a donation to get the Silent Cry documentary film, because when you do, every penny of profit is going to support that ministry.
Absolutely. So that's a simple thing that people can do. There's other things that we'll talk about through the course of these episodes that people at home can do. One other quick thing.
Yeah.
Post about it on social media. Make sure your posts are factual and not sensational, but are actually rooted in truth. And when you post, use the hashtag Silent Cry.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, people are using hashtags Save Our Children, Save the Children. Excellent. That's great. Please add in hashtag Silent Cry when you post about this on social media, because it'll really help get the word out.
The more we can do this, the more we can make go viral these things, the more people that put their eyes on this stuff. I saw earlier this week, there was a whole bunch of peaceful protesters, the kind that you like to see. They had signs. If I understand correctly, they marched into or very close to a CNN news building with signs that said, Save Our Children, hashtag Save Our Children. There's a whole bunch of them. It looked on video like there might be as many as 150 people. But there are people now becoming very active in this. I love it. I think the Lord is raising up a remnant, and he's not just exposing darkness on a select number of things. He's blasting light on everything.
Absolutely.
And right now, this to me is one of the elephants in the room.
Yeah, and hashtag Silent Cry is not about just promoting a movie. It's about promoting the end of child sex trafficking.
Wow. For the next few weeks, we're going to continue to show you extended clips that only showcase small highlights from the over 2-hour-long Silent Cry film. So make sure you get your copy of the full-length documentary right now at the Skywatch TV store. And remember that all of the profits from the sales of Silent Cry go directly to Whispering Ponies Ranch in order to help children who've been rescued from sex trafficking and other abuses. Next week, we continue this expose and reveal even more horrific findings surrounding the child sex trade industry and what Americans simply must know. For Josh Peck and Tom Horn, I'm Joe Horn, and this is Skywatch TV.